This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome, welcome to the show, my family, wherever you are this lovely evening on a Thursday. It is time for the Yellow Mic. Can I greet you all in the lovely, beautiful name of Jesus Christ? Tonight, we're speaking about something very important, something that's been in our mouths, many of us out there, hearing about the Popular Act, what does it mean? What must happen now? You know, do I need a form that I need to sign to make me understand this Popular Act? What is it all about? You know, I remember we all got emails and we all got information on our phones, and really Popular Protection of Personal Information Act, and we are going to find out everything that we need to know about it this evening. We are speaking to a lady that is informed about it. She has human resources background, but also has done a course within Popular to make us understand what it is all about, you know, the compliance of Popular, and what does it mean for me as a consumer, you know, what are my rights and what can I do if my rights have been infringed upon during, you know, this time that the Act has been put into place, or rather put into play in South Africa. So that's pretty much the conversation this evening. If you want to get involved, you can do so on the WhatsApp line, which is 0817291657, 0817291657. If you are under the same, you know, view and opinion that, okay, what does this mean for me? You know, or just in summary, if someone could just make me understand what this mean, you know. I know that many people don't know about this Popular Act. They're just like, yeah, there's this thing, Popular, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? And so today we are shedding some light on what Protection of Personal Information Act means for you and me as a consumer. So we're going to be praying chain breaker Zach Williams just before we get into that conversation. So please just tune in and get involved and engage with us in the conversation. WhatsApp number is 0817291657. Christo France, sing, sing, sing. Oh, yes, sing. The poppy commencement date was 1st July 2020. The president proclaimed that on 1st July 2020 was the date where the act started or commenced. And so it was an important time for us as citizens of South Africa. And some of us are saying, but what does this Popular Act mean? What must I do differently now? How am I affected by it? I'm one of those people. And today we're going to get a professional, someone that knows a thing or two about the Popular Act. And just in short, just a summary that I got here online, just to start the conversation with us. It says the Protection of Personal Information Act, or Popular Act, is South Africa's equivalent of the EU GDPR. It sets some conditions for responsible parties called controllers of other jurisdictions or lawfully process the personal information of data and subjects, both naturally and juristic persons. The Popular Act does not stop you from processing and does not require you to get consent from data subjects to process their personal information. Whoever decides why and how to process personal information is responsible for complying with the conditions. There are 8 general conditions and 3 extra conditions. The responsible party is also responsible for a failure by their operators, those who process to them to meet their conditions. The POPIA Act is important because it protects the data subjects from harm like theft, discrimination, the risk of non-compliance, including reputational management, fines, imprisonment, and paying out damages claims to data subjects. The biggest risk after reputational damage is a fine or failing to protect account numbers. So I reckon, and my very, very limited understanding of the POPIA Act is that it is to protect me as the consumer from my information being used without my knowledge, perhaps on other sources, and maybe being used in a way where I had not agreed or had signed and given the rights for that information to be used, or for my personal information to be used. So that is my very limited understanding. So family, if you perhaps have a bigger and a more clearer understanding about the POPIA Act, you can get a hold of us on 0817291657. That is 0817291657. That is the WhatsApp line that you can reach me on here on 729 Radio Cape Pulpit. Building 429, Unashamed. It is 19 minutes past 7, and we're going to be speaking to Benice Reuters more about the POPIA Act and what it means for us as consumers. 729 Radio Cape Pulpit, that's where we are at, family. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you are. And as promised, I do have Benice Reuters with us. She is the Managing Director of DBD Solutions, and she is also on a mission to inspire and to help address the major challenges of unemployment in South Africa by empowering entrepreneurs, SMMEs. And her company offers flexible HR business solutions, which focuses on exploring funding and grant opportunities, both within the public sector and private sector. And she's really just an incredible woman altogether, and has done remarkable work altogether as well. And so we have her here with us to help us understand POPIA a little bit better, using her knowledge and what she knows about it. Benice, firstly, welcome to the show, the Yellow Mic. Welcome, and I am very honored and privileged to have you with us this evening.
Thank you so much, PC, and thank you for inviting me this evening.
Benice, I think if you could just start off by briefly just introducing yourself, and as much as, you know, I have read your bio to our listeners out there, if you could just, you know, maybe just elaborate a little bit more as to the work that you do, just to briefly introduce yourself, and then we will take it from there.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, good evening, listeners. Thank you for giving me this platform. My name is Bernice. I'm the owner of DBD Solutions, HR and business consulting services. We offer HR solutions, training, recruitment services, as well as helping entrepreneurs really to grow their business from, you know, empowering and educating them and helping them to grow their business from even recruitment or just training, and help them assist with funding as well to grow their business. So, yes, we do a little bit of empowering and growing individuals as well as their business. So that's in a nutshell in what we basically do.
I hear you. Very involved in, ensuring that entrepreneurs are groomed and, you know, ready to take their businesses to the next level. And that's work that is very much needed, especially in the time that we are in right now in South Africa, where there is unemployment. And, you know, through grooming entrepreneurs, that is where the employment opportunities have the possibility to open. Benice, and so you're also someone that is well what can I say, maybe knowledgeable rather, in the Poppier Act, the act that everyone on the 1st of July, was it the 1st of July, got all these messages, emails and everything, and were being introduced to Protection of Personal Information Act, and no one really knew what it was about, but, you know, some people had a brief understanding of what it was about. And so I thought, that's why I thought, let's have this conversation so that we can understand it from a consumer point of view, from, you know, what is it that this act means for me? How does it change my life? Because many people were asking, okay, so we've gotten all these emails and all these messages, but what does it mean? And I thought, you know what, let's get you on the line so that you can help us to understand this, you know, in a way that we can understand it. So the question that I have is, what is Poppier and who does it apply to?
Yes. So, TC, I think Poppier or Poppy Act, as they would say, I've been on so many sessions already, and like when it was rolled out, everybody was, what is it all about? But as we were just in sessions, every time we just hear it, that it's actually Poppier or Poppy Act, it's actually a journey. There is no way that you're going to just be compliant immediately. It's an ongoing process, and, you know, educating people and just helping consumers to see what their rights are, and as well for companies also to comply and having certain systems in place in order to protect clients or consumers' personal information. So what is Poppier Act and who does it apply to? I'm just going to give you like a short overview. The Protection of Personal Information Act of 2013 follows the example of similar quite onerous legislations in the European Union aimed at protecting individuals' right to privacy. More specifically, the Act aims to give effect to the right to privacy as provided for the Constitutional Bill of Rights by limiting the extent to which personal information may be processed by others, including employers. It's one mouthful, but basically it's personal information from people that are processed from you, the consumer, or anyone else, including employers. So whoever manage people's personal information or data. So why was it implemented, or why is it implemented actually? It's really to protect you, the consumer, against theft of money or your identity, maybe being preventing from your personal information landing into the wrong person's hands. So it's really to basically protect the individual, that your information land in the wrong person's hand. And if we look at what is personal information, you know, how do you, there's lots of information. So when is red flag information or personal information? So personal information informs that relates to a natural person or a juristic person such as a company. So this includes someone's physical address or email address, date of birth or ID number. So that's personal information. When it comes to red or like sensitive information or personal information, that is like race, sex, medical condition, gender, sex, or your biometric information. So those are information that you really need people's consent if you need to do that. So those are personal information that you necessarily don't want to collect gather, because there must be a specific reason or consent from the individual or consumer why you need that information. And what is processing? Processing refers to handling the personal information. You're collecting it, you store that data, you update and distribute the distribution of that information. So it sounds a bit, it's very complex, but it's basically that when you collect someone's information, there must be really a good reason why you need certain information. So the less you need, the better it is, because if you send out an email listing, if people need to sign up to your email address, before they ask for your ID number, your contact number, so as little as possible if you need information. If it's just the contact or just the email, as little as possible information that is required. And the processing, there are actually processing conditions of handling data, is to be accountable for or taking ownership of when you collect someone's data. If it's a company, I'm a small business owner, so for me and my HR background, handling people's personal information, taking ownership of it and have certain processes in place, why you need certain information, have security measures in terms of handling that data of the individual or client or that. Processing limitations, processing information for lawful reasons and in a manner that does not infringe privacy. Purpose specification, only obtain and hold information, personal information for a specific purpose. As I was mentioning earlier, only ask for information that is needed, not unnecessary personal or information required. Further processing limitations, further processing of personal information must be compatible with the purpose of what it is collected. Meaning, so if you ask for information, it must be for the reason why you actually, I'm a recruitment consultant as well. So if I'm asking for someone's qualifications, it must be for that specific role or job that's advertised. That is why I'm actually requesting that qualification. Information quality, ensure that the information that you receive from the individual is accurate. If you get an email, it's your right. If you send out an email and if it bounces back, you must make sure that or follow up with the individual once the email bounces back. Why didn't it go off? Or I'll come to the section where it is where at your email, I've nowadays seen that a lot of these policy acts or there's a disclosure where you can go on that link, update your information, or you can actually say, delete me from your mailing list. Openness, inform individuals why you need that specific information and the purpose thereof. Security safeguards of personal information. For instance, security safeguards is when you handle, if you send out emails to clients or a group of people, make sure that you BCC instead of CC a group of people. When you're printing documents at your printer, make sure that you're close to your printer instead of not at your printer when confidential data is getting print. Or even if you work in a coffee shop or at a shop, do not use clients' personal information or people's private bank statements or information. You know, take it out to public places. So just to make sure that you're secure, safeguard where you're handling data. Data subject participation. So this is the section where I mentioned that ensure that a data subject has the right to request access to their personal information that you hold, to request that the information is deleted, corrected, or they have a right to say to remove them from your database or information. And lastly, I think, what are the practical steps that the consumer can actually take if privacy has been infringed on them? There are ways for the consumer where you can actually protect your personal information, as to give your information only to individuals or companies that you trust. Put your name on a, if you want someone to stop mailing you or calling you, you can actually put your name on this specific national opt-out organization website. We're Direct Marketing Association of Southern Africa. That is where all memberships are of Direct Marketing Association. And then your information will get emailed to all those service providers that's registered under the Direct Marketing Association, and you will stop getting those emails. As well as calls, you can actually you can register your details on the White Stop Spam Call South Africa. And ensure that you read private policies in the contracts of companies with whom you do business. Read the private policy, the privacy policy, and request companies to remove all personal information about you from their system. Cancel subscriptions to electronic newsletters and submit a complaint to the information regulator if companies or people are still, you know, sending you information or you want to lay a complaint. So that is what consumers can basically do in order to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think also basically from, this is now on social media.
I was just about to say, because, you know, now we're in the digital age and everything is online and our information is all over social media, you know, Facebook and, you know, all these various social media channels or networks. So does this also apply to social media?
Not really to social media to that extent, because it's not handling of personal or data itself. So you as a social, on social media, you as a social platform where you are engaging on. So not necessarily, because that is not a secured or space where data is managed by individuals or businesses. But what you as a consumer can do is on these groups that you, I know sometimes people join groups. You join it and you don't want people to see your profile picture or your details. What you can do, you can actually set up your profile picture, your settings that people can't see your picture as such. Sometimes for minors, like children under the age of 18, some people don't want the kids on social media. So maybe you've got a picture of your child on your Facebook or even on your WhatsApp, and you join a group and you actually don't want them to see maybe it's your child or your family picture. So there are certain ways that you can manage that on your personal, in your personal capacity on your social media platforms. And the one thing I actually also said is really to share as little as possible. When you fall in those personal information forms, make sure whoever you signed up that it's a reputable site or, you know, what information they require from you, as little as possible. Don't give out ID numbers. Don't give out banking details, as little as possible, because that is your personal information, and people just use it for anything and contact you. So, and if I can just in a simple term, just to conclude really to say what Poppy really in a simple term is, it's really a behavioral change in terms of everyday or being conscious about how you do or handle data or information when people ask for information. I'm very conscious, my background is HR, when people ask for someone's contact details or information, I always ask consent from the party, may I share your information before I will just share it to a third party or something. Those are just basic small little things that you can implement in your daily life. So in simple terms, collect only what is needed data, that if you require information, be open to people. Why do you need that information? Let people see the information if they want to change it. Let them fix the information. Make sure that it's accurate before sharing information. Keep it secure. Safely get rid of things that you don't need anymore. use only it for the purpose you collect that specific data for, and disclose only if you have good reason to why you do that. So I hope that summarizes a little bit of what the POPI Act is and what it is for the consumer and as well for SMEs that actually manage other people's data or information. And I think it's also what you can do as a small business is really just to, there are many policies on the government website where you go and you can actually download the POPI Act policy, private policies, you know. Those are small little things that you can, you don't need to have like all the policies or everything, like we were saying, POPI is a journey of being compliant. So it's a daily step and daily ways of a framework that you implement and try to comply. By what you can also do as small businesses or companies is to train your people, to educate your people. There are lots of, I've actually attended, I'm not marketing for them, but I've attended the EMS webinar, and it was really informative, and they do quite a bit of free webinars just to inform small businesses what the Act's about, how you can actually implement policies and what frameworks you can actually do by just having this in place. So when someone share information, so have it on your website or have it on your email, your private privacy policy, your disclosure of information and all of that. So small little things that you can implement as a small business, as well as a consumer handling, giving your information out, make sure what information that you give and that you ask people why are they require all that specific information, personal information, for instance, like ID or addresses or things like that. You as a consumer have the right to ask that.
Bernice, I think you've definitely summed it up for us. And, you know, by my understanding, I see this as protection for me as the consumer. And like you mentioned, it helps you as the consumer to be more aware and to be more conscious in terms of, okay, my private information, where, you know, am I placing it? You know, being careful with things like your ID number, because people can use it, you know, for various things that are not lawful. And so it's really about just being conscious, and this Act then protects you. And then there's also a way forward in terms of if you feel that you've been infringed upon and something has happened, now you can, find ways in terms of, you know, getting things right or rectifying whatever has happened with your data. So from my side, thank you so much. It really does give insight and really makes it practical, you know, instead of just hearing and seeing about the Papaya Act, now there's a brief understanding as to what it means for me as the consumer. And I trust that the family out there as well has gotten just a bit of an understanding as to what it means. So thank you, Bernice Reuters, for joining us this evening and making time to share your knowledge with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Cici.
Thank you. Have yourself a blessed evening and a rest of the week.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Right, family, that was Bernice Reuters. She explained to us very nicely what the Papaya Act is all about and what does it mean for me, what does it mean for you, and so on and so forth. So I think it's really just about awareness, as Bernice has mentioned, and really just looking into the things that you sign up to, reading the fine print. You know, we don't like to read the fine print, but now we are being forced to read the fine print to know exactly, you know, where is my information going to? You know, I'm busy doing this, I'm signing this document, but what will happen now? So it's really to protect you in the end of the day. In your presence, Benjamin Dube coming your way. Truvine Bongo Madela saying, I can do it on my own. Our beautiful song of bringing us straight to 5 minutes to go until the top of the hour. And before that, we had Benjamin Dube in your presence. My family, I trust that you got a thing or two, or rather a word or two, for all things poppy act, having an understanding of what this means for you as the consumer going forward, that you need to protect your information, make sure that you know exactly where you're giving your information, what it is that you're assigning, and where your data or your information will end up, so that you don't have any misinformation or maybe other things that happen in the long term that then brings you back that, remember when you signed that and you didn't really read the fine print? So it kind of brings the responsibility back to you or me, as to say, right now it's in your hands. You know, make sure that you know what it is that you're doing with your personal information, and hold it at high regard. You know, your personal, for example, your ID number. If you've just been given your ID number just randomly, well, that needs to stop, and you need to take better care of your personal data. That's my understanding of what the Poppy Act means, and it means that I'm also protected now. I can go to the information regulator if there's something that I'm not sure about and I feel that my rights have been infringed upon here, and my information has been used for something that is wrong. Or for example, if you all of a sudden get let me put it this way, if you all of a sudden get a call from somewhere, and you know, these people have maybe given your number to certain people to call you, I mean, that's infringement of your rights. You know, that's being violated, and so you have the right to go to the information regulator and say, my personal information has ended up somewhere where I did not approve for it to end up. And there you go, case one, boom.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.